In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you a little story here. One day, this rather inebriated ice fisherman drilled a hole in the ice and peered into the hole, and a loud voice he heard. And it said, "There are no fish down there." And this guy was rather startled. A little shaken, he walked several yards away and drilled another hole and peered into the hole. And again, the voice said, "There's no fish down here." Then he walked about several yards away and drilled another hole. And again, the voice said, "There's no fish down there." The man looked up and asked, "God, is that you?" "No," the voice said, "it's the ice rink manager." That was funny. You're laughing at home. My wife is not, but I bet you are. Jesus must have liked fish and fishing, since he spoke of it often. He ate fish several times in the Bible. He called these fishermen to be his disciples. And when it came time to feed a bunch of people, fish for everybody. Maybe we should start a fishing ministry. I think that's a brilliant idea. "I love to fish, and I will just catch as many as you can throw to me." When I go out fishing, especially for catfish, I have a very strict catch and release policy, as I think I have told you all before. I catch them and then I release them into hot grease. I know I've told you a few of that before. Why? Because it's one of my favorite jokes. Now, and I do love to fish. It's just that when I go out, the fish don't seem to want to cooperate. Over the past year, or two, or three, or four, I've gone to a number of lakes and streams and rivers here in West Virginia and South Carolina, Virginia, and afar. And I have to admit, I have not caught nearly the number of fish that I would have liked to. As a matter of fact, my fishing game has been severely hindered ever since I moved to Bluefield. And I'm not saying y'all are bad luck, but I haven't caught as many fish as I used to. We've got two stories about fish in our lessons today. Now, the Old Testament lesson doesn't mention fish, but let's face it, when we think of Jonah, what do we think of? We think of the Sunday school story, the whale or a fish. The Hebrew word that's used in the story is actually fish. Most assume well because, well, there just aren't a lot of bass out there that could swallow a man whole. Although I have caught a couple monsters never mind. It's a shame I didn't have a camera that day. That's all I have to say. But our lessons don't recall that. It doesn't talk about how he got there by refusing to listen to the call of God to preach and getting on a boat going the opposite direction. No. Our lesson today instead speaks about how after his famous ordeal, he preaches to the people of Nineveh and they repent of all their evil ways. It's not the part of the story you hear in Sunday school. Neither is the next part of the story where Jonah gets mad that the people have repented and that God won't smite them and he goes off to a hill and asks God to kill him and God basically says, okay, well, calm down and give it a rest. In the lectionary, we never actually read about Jonah and the whale, but we do read about his ministry and his meltdown after it. It's fascinating that the most well-known part of the story of Jonah is never actually read in church. Then we've got our gospel lesson, where two brothers are out fishing, and Jesus calls them to follow him. Jesus thinks he's funny here and makes a little pun. Scripture says he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, and Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." I've often wondered if Jesus repeated the joke when he got to James and John, or if he felt that he couldn't reuse material. As you know, I have no problem reusing material. Four guys drop what they're doing, though, and they follow Jesus. So, two stories about fish. In one, the subject is called by God and he flees. In the other, the subjects don't ever look back after they've been called. Now, I have several times in the past shared with you the story of me coming back to Christianity and my gradual understanding of being called into ministry. How I'd moved out to Kentucky to grad school only to be miserable, opening up my Bible to a random page one day in finding that I had landed on the first page of the book of Jonah, in the tears that I shed when I finally realized what God was telling me. Jonah and I are, in some ways, kindred spirits. Of course, I'm not necessarily sure most of us aren't a little Jonah. If we all aren't a little scared or intimidated to live into the calling God has for us, it can be rather frightening to think of being asked to serve, especially in ways we never thought possible. I feel like I'm Jonah, running away from what God calls me to do, yet so desperately I want to be a disciple. I desperately want to be one who drops everything and says, as the prophet Samuel did last week, here I am. Or as Simon, Andrew, James, and John do today. I want to, and I'm working on it. Perhaps you too have felt the call and ran away. My testimony to you today is that my brothers and sisters running away, well, it just ain't going to work. It just isn't. Life gets weird living in the service of God, but life gets rough when we deny our calling. It's easier to follow the will of God kicking and screaming than to deny it altogether. And trust me on this one, my brothers and sisters, just trust me. So after thinking and praying this week that I want to be a little more like a disciple and a little less like Jonah, I started thinking again about our gospel lesson. So I decided to look at my favorite memory verse from Sunday school another way. Instead of reading it like Jonah, I read it like a fisherman. Come and follow me, and I will make you fish for people. People. Not just men, not just a subset of humanity, not just certain individuals, but people. You know, when I go fishing, rarely do I care what I catch. I'm just usually thankful something caught, you know? When something doesn't seem to be working, I switch lures. I don't think to myself, that lure was the best lure. It's the only way to catch fish. I think, what's going to work best here? As we move forward in this next year or two, after this rather odd ordeal that we have been through, this pandemic, as we fish for people, I think that's the same mindset that we need. I think that's how we act a little more like disciples and a little less like Jonah. We need an open mind. We need to be able to change how we fish according to the current. We need to be listening for the will and call of God in our lives. Feel fearful, maybe, of what that might mean, but never once, my brothers and sisters, fleeing from the possibilities. We need to be unafraid to put a line out there because the catch of a lifetime may only be a castaway. That means we use whatever we can, even if it's in ways we've never tried before, to bring more and more into the fold. It means fishing in the lake, not the ice rink. It means going out to meet people where they are, not where we want them to be. We need to fish for people, my brothers and sisters. We need to cast nets all over the city and around all of our communities. We need to get up. We can't wait for people just to get here or to log on or to tune in. We need to get out in the world and fish for people. Why? Because so many in this broken world don't realize that they need Jesus. So many don't understand what it means to be loved by God or loved by God's people. So many trapped in this world of sadness and sorrow, and they just can't see a better way. When we fish for people, it's not to box them into a rigid set of rules or traditions. It's to set them free to be the creation God has intended for them to be all along. It takes courage, my brothers and sisters, to be a fisherman. It takes courage to fish for the souls of people. It's a little scary, even just to invite someone to church or maybe even click share on some page or to send links out to people, especially if they don't go to church now or have been afraid to in the past or concerned about how they'll be treated. Maybe that's why too many Christians no longer seem to be the fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. We have to break free of our fears and misconceptions, of our doubts and personal desires, in order to truly be the fishers of people that Christ has called us to be. We're not going to catch it if we're not fishing. Spreading that gospel message is what we are called to do, and running from it can never release us from our duty. It's tough work, but I can tell you this. If fishing for people is anything like catching fish, I can't think of a better way to spend a day. Amen.